You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call back? I called back.
Gilbert, fade away.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Sandig here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. We are less than 48 hours away from the season opener of the 2017-18 campaign. It is almost upon us. Wizards hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's talk about that a little bit. We'll get into that matchup, what happened last year, and what to look for in this one. Also, out of practice today, Bradley Beal spoke. I've got sound from him talking about the new weapon in his bag of tricks coming in to this year. And then also, the Wizards don't play the Cleveland Cavaliers in the season opener, but obviously, facing Cleveland is going to be a tough challenge and you know, all kinds of interesting for all kinds of reasons. One of the reasons, to some degree, will be one of their new additions, forward Jeff Green, obviously a local kid, Georgetown, from the area, and so on. I caught up with him when the Wizards hosted Cleveland during the preseason, so I will play you guys some of that as well here on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Of course, if you missed any of our other podcasts, you can find them on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. Did a Wizards season preview with my guy Adam Rubin from truthaboutit.net. Also, last week, did a two-part Eastern Conference preview with Dan Feldman from NBC Sports' Pro Basketball Talk. For those of you into the writing side of things, I put up a two-part season preview up on NBCWashington.com. Part one is up there now. It includes my reasoning as to why John Wall will not finish among the top five in MVP voting, but it's not a bad thing. So check that out on NBCWashington.com. All right, speaking of the backcourt, let's get to Bradley Beal. He spoke today after practice. I believe we're going to get John Wall for Tuesday's practice. But right now, let's hear from Bradley Beal. It's, you know, having covered Bradley Beal since day one of his career, it's almost hard for me to believe he's already 24 and that he's only 24, however you want to look at it. But last year, obviously a breakout year, and that's to me what makes him such an intriguing piece for the Wizards this year. And I'll share some more about that on the other side. But here's Bradley Beal talking about a few different things: the season, his growth. He gets into some Carrick Felix, and he does talk about Joel Embiid's Twitter game. Here's Wizards guard Bradley Beal.
I'm ready for it, man. This is going to be a big year for us. I'm excited. I think we're all excited. We're healthy. And on top of that, too. So it's no excuse for us to get off to a good start.
That game will have two number one picks debuting. I'm curious, do you remember what it was like when you were, you know, number three pick coming in the league in terms of playing against veterans? You know, do you remember any matchups in particular or what it was like trying to get your, you know, sea legs in the NBA?
I was nervous, you know, but, you know, it's probably more anxiety than anything. You know, you're just realizing it's your dream. You know, it's something that you've worked, you know, all your short life for, you know, and you know, now it's finally here. So, you know, it's just a matter of just being, getting out there, getting your feet wet. And, you know, they're not going to be perfect. You know, they're going to make mistakes and, you know, they're going to do a lot of things good. But, you know, it's a learning process, you know, throughout their whole first year. And I remember my first shot was a three, and I have no idea why it was a three, but it was, you know. So it was just getting used to that. And, you know, these guys that we're playing tomorrow, you know, they're going to be good, you know, and we expect them to come out with energy, because it's a very energetic team as we played in the past, you know, before. So I don't think too much of that is going to change. But, you know, at the same time, they're going to have some bumps and bruises.
Prior to last year, you had already had some big moments, especially in the playoffs. But fair to say that last year was a big step forward for you. What has that done for you now going into this year, your confidence, your thinking about this year?
Well, you hit it on the head. It's really just a confidence booster, you know, just realizing my potential and what I can be, the type of player I can be, you know, when I had a healthy season. You know, that's probably what I was more proud of than anything, playing 70-plus games and then playing in the playoffs, you know, every game. So that was great for me. And the strides that I made throughout the year of working on my ball handling, working on creating for other guys and getting my own shot and just being more consistent with everything. You know, those are all the primary things that I'm focused on and hope we can continue to carry on and continue to get better at this this year as well.
What do you think about Carrick Felix getting that final roster spot?
Oh, man, I told him congrats when I first seen him the other day. You know, I think he deserves it. He works his tail off. You know, he's one of our hardest workers for sure. He's in the gym early, one of the last ones to leave. You know, he challenges everybody, challenges me to get better. You know, so that's exactly the type of guy we need, somebody who's going to challenge us each and every day, somebody who's appreciative of what he has and what he has to work for. You know, and those are all things that, you know, he came into with the mindset, you know, early on. You know, nobody really knew who he was, and, you know, he made a name for himself, and, you know, it's an awesome feeling whenever, you know, you see the hard work pay off for somebody like that.
I've heard in practice sometimes it's like he goes like a little too hard.
Yeah, sometimes he do, but you know that's his mentality, you know, and I think that's what it challenges us to go harder, you know, because at the end of the day, he doesn't take it for granted. You know, he doesn't take his opportunity for granted at all. You know, he continues to work hard and push himself. And I think once we see that, you know, sometimes it pushes us to continue to work hard and get better as well. You know, so there's times where he is a little hyped and he can't go super hard. But, you know, that's the type of player he is. You have to do nothing but respect it.
We'll establish that it's about the team most of all. But for you as an individual, is there one thing this year, if you had to point to any one, I don't know, stat or one part of your game, that you have a goal in mind?
More rebounds, probably. I think I only had like 3 rebounds last year and more assists. I want to increase both those numbers. I obviously love scoring the ball. You know, that's something I never worry about. But I just want to continue to fill up the stat sheet a little bit more, contribute to the game in different areas, you know. I think rebounding was something that hurt us a little bit last year. So getting in there, helping our bigs out a little bit, helping Otto out a little bit, and grabbing some of those rebounds, those long rebounds as well. So and as much as I can, being able to create better, you know, getting guys easier shots than before and getting more assists and just improve everywhere. You know, I'm my biggest critic, so I always feel like nothing's perfect and I always got to get better at everything.
Going back to when you were a rookie, do you remember any particular matchup where you were like, okay, this is a different league? Where you kind of, or a team or a game where you were like, okay, you know, this is a lot different than college was?
Pretty much everybody, man. It was probably the Heat when they had D-Wade and LeBron on the same team, I think, because that's when D-Wade was, he was electrifying. You know, he still had his quickness. He was strong as I don't know what. And, you know, I was a baby at that time. So, you know, for me, it was like I was in awe because those were guys I grew up watching, guys I was a fan of, and I was a fan of, and now, you know, I'm playing against them. I can't be a fan of them, you know. So, it was really pretty much everybody I faced, you know, because I watched all the two guards in the league at that time, and it was just amazing to be able to play against them. But it was also an eye opener to I need to get better as well.
You're on Twitter, but I wouldn't necessarily classify you as somebody who's like aggressively on Twitter the way, say, Joel Embiid is. What do you take when you see like that the other day with him and Whiteside, just the way he kind of goes at it in general? Shows a lot of personality and people like it, but it's definitely interesting.
It's JoJo, my boy, I like JoJo because we have the same trainer. We work out in the summers, you know, sometimes together. But he's yeah, that was crazy. That was really crazy. He's letting his feelings be known. You know, but I like it though. I think it keeps guys competitive. You know, and the same with Whiteside. Like I think that's what we need a little bit. I don't necessarily think there's gonna be any fighting or any hands thrown or anything like that. It's a competition thing. You know, who's the better big, and you know who's gonna prove it. You know, at the end of the day. But you know, when he plays us, we're gonna try to shut him down as best as we can. We're not trying to hear none of that talking. I'm gonna let him know about it too.
All right, there's Wizards wing guard Bradley Beal. Of course, Beal and John Wall amazingly tied for the team lead in scoring last year. And obviously, set career highs in a bunch of different categories, including points, free throw attempts, field goal percentage, shot over 40% from three. So it was interesting when I asked him the question about what is his personal goal this year. I was not expecting rebounding, but then looking back on it, it actually makes a little bit of sense. He averaged 3.1 rebounds last year. Now, that's not much lower than his other seasons, but it is the lowest of his career. It was 3.4 the previous year, career high at 3.8 on a couple of other occasions. And look, I mean, Bradley Beal's not the biggest guard in the world, but he's 6'4", 6'5". He's solidly built. He certainly has the athleticism to battle in there, and he's willing to go inside. But I think the point there is a couple. One, rebounding is a bad effort desire, and it is a team effort thing. Also, if he's able to be the one who's able to get the rebound, it just means the Wizards can start a fast break even quicker. And obviously there's the whole, keep the other team from getting another possession. So, interesting that's the way he went. A guy we view as a scorer, a shooter, went with rebounding as something that he thinks is a personal goal for him. So good stuff there out of Bradley Beal. I mentioned before Otto Porter looking more comfortable post-contract signing. It definitely feels the same way about Beal. I mean, Beal's been a hyper-mature young man since the day we met him. But it's continuing to going up. He's, seems more and more comfortable out with the media as well. So, onward and upward with Bradley Beal. I'd be stunned if he's not an all-star this year, assuming good health, and not just simply because Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony went to the West. I think he was going to get there anyway. He was very close a year ago, and now it is, he's ready to take that next step to get to the all-star game. Now, in there, of course, he mentioned a couple things. He mentioned one, we talked about with him, the debut of two number one overall picks for the 76ers. One of them is Ben Simmons, the number one pick in last year's draft, who did not play because of injury, and Markelle Fultz, the number one pick in this year's draft. Fultz, of course, a DeMatha product, played one season at the University of Washington, was the number one pick, and the Philly got that in the trade with Boston that sent Jason Tatum to the Celtics. And we also, of course, talked about little Joel Embiid there. But, look back to last year with the 76ers. The Wizards, for the most part, took advantage of the bottom teams in the East. But the Sixers were definitely one team that was not the case. They played three times last year. Philly won twice. They won both games at home. The crazy part isn't even so much that Philly won, because, things happen in the league, whatever. But Philly wasn't, even for a team that wasn't good, Philly wasn't loaded with any of their guys. The Wizards didn't face Joel Embiid once last year. Philadelphia's top scorer, Jahlil Okafor, at 18.7 points, and he shot 63.6% from the field. Okafor is not even, when you talk about the 76ers team and this, youth that could really, I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. But he's not one of the reasons why. We're talking about a guy, a former number three overall pick just a couple of years ago. But when you look at the Sixers core, you're talking at Joel Embiid and Simmons and Fultz and Dario Saric, plus some of the other guys like Robert Covington. Okafor, he'll play, but, it seems to me I could imagine him getting traded to a team that's maybe on the rebuild, seeing if they can turn him into a true building block. And Philly aims to get some veteran help. And, of course, also Philly has J.J. Redick now as well. I'm not sure why I just mentioned that. That's a point to mention. It wasn't to be mentioned there. Anywho, I guess maybe they're both on Duke. Maybe that's where my head went. But anyway, so Okafor is the top scorer last year. Second for Philly in scoring, Ersin Ilyasova, a guy I definitely like a ton, but he averaged 17 a game. He's now with the Hawks. Ilyasova is a good player, but, he's not that dynamic. Fourth, Gerald Henderson. He's not even in the, I don't believe he's even in the league at the moment, or at least he's not on Philly. So it's going to be a completely different looking team from the Wizards. Maybe you could say it's a good thing seeing as how they lost 2 of 3. But at the same point, the Sixers, the Wizards had trouble with the 76ers. I think Philadelphia coach Brett Brown is one of my favorite coaches to listen to when he talks pre and post game. I'm excited for that opportunity on Wednesday, and I give him a ton of credit with Philadelphia. He is, whenever he's been right here at least, he's always able to maintain a high level of optimism, but he still douses it with reality. He understands exactly what the task he was given these last couple of years, trying to get these young players, help raise them literally on the professional level. And now is a year where, you know, there's enough talent there and enough time that it should be a pretty interesting ride. One reason why Philadelphia did so well against the Wizards last year, field goal percentage. Philadelphia shot 48.2% from the field. On the season, they were only 44.2, which is 27th in the league. The Wizards struggled. Now, why did the Wizards struggle? Well, the two main guys, John Wall and Bradley Beal, not so much, at least when you talk about offensively. Bradley Beal, he played two games. He averaged 30 points in those two games, including one with a 40-point outburst. John Wall averaged 27 points, 6.3 rebounds, 9 assists, while shooting 40% from three. They didn't get as much help, I guess you could say, per normal. Otto Porter's numbers in particular were fairly lousy against Philly. He averaged 10.7 points a game. It's down from 13 and change he averaged. And he shot a dismal 31.6% from the field. Otto, of course, shot over 44% from three last year, let alone overall. So the Wizards are going to need a little better, more balance, to say the least. That was one of those stats I was tracking a good chunk of last year, how when Wall and Beal were doing so much of the scoring, that the Wizards weren't as good. In any event, it's almost, like I said, almost hard to look at last year's games and take it with too much meaning, considering no Embiid, no Simmons, no Fultz. Now, speaking of Fultz, you know, obviously from the moment that the announcement was made that the Wizards would start the season against Philly, the idea that the number one overall pick, who's from this area, would be playing his NBA debut at home was a noteworthy topic. I guess we all assumed he would be starting at that point. I mean, Ben Simmons, though he's a 6'8", he's built like a 6'8 forward, he's essentially a point guard. And that's where he'll start for the Sixers, which will make for an interesting matchup against John Wall. But that's not what Philly's doing. Philly's going to start Jared Bayless. And what's interesting about Fultz is, look, I mean, obviously he looks like a tremendous talent. I said I was not as high on him as others. You know, when you only watch a guy play a couple of different games in college, you always have to be leery that maybe you're catching him on an off night. But I was never, like, blown away to the degree that other people were. I kind of like the trade that the Celtics made to get Jason Tatum and other assets for Fultz. That said, you know, again, he's a you know, a lot of potential, but it's been kind of a mess for him in the preseason. His free throw shooting, if you haven't seen the highlights, he looks awful. He's had some sort of a shoulder injury, and his free throw, he's like letting the ball list sort of like float out of his hand, or awkward release. He also has had some sort of a knee issue. By not starting in the game, he would be, according to, I saw this on Deadspin, he would be just the third number one overall pick since 2003 not to start his first game. Okay, that in of itself maybe not seem like much. Now, of course, those two other guys, Anthony Bennett and Andrea Bargnani. Yikes. That's not good company to keep. That does not mean Fultz will be in their level, but it's just interesting off the bat. So curious to see what he looks like when the games turn real. But in any event, I'm super duper excited to see Joel Embiid play. I hope that actually does happen, that he's not out. But considering his injury history, I'm not going to assume anything. But Embiid is just a ridiculously good talent. You know, I said in the podcast with Adam Rubin, I mean this sincerely, I think I said second, that I can see Embiid, if he plays at least 70 games, finishing second in the MVP voting, both based on the talent, based on getting Philly, you know, the miserable team last few years, into the playoffs, but also so many reporters have a huge man crush on Embiid, myself included, but I don't get a vote in the saying. Realistically, it's probably third behind LeBron and Kawhi would be the highest, but I think it's a realistic chance if he can stay healthy. So that's what's to watch there. From the Wizards' perspective, I'm assuming Jason Smith will start at the power forward spot. Other than that, you know, they should be a fairly healthy bunch. Let me get no Marky Morris, but so it should be an interesting test, to say the least. Philly will be a must-see team to watch in League Pass this year, and we get to do it without having to go to League Pass right off the bat. Wizards hosting the 76ers. Now, the Wizards will not be hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers until November 3rd. That's not a long time to wait at this point, but it's not the opener. When that time comes, we'll see where things are. Things stand with Jeff Green, of course, the former Georgetown star, local kid. He's bounced around the NBA a little bit. He's had some great successes. His last year was definitely not one of them. Kind of a miserable year in Orlando with a floundering Magic team, career low in scoring. But he's an interesting pickup by Cleveland. It's one of those things where Jeff Green lands with 95% of the teams in the league, and you're like, I don't know at this point in his career. But with Cleveland, with specifically LeBron James, where Jeff Green, who's a very streaky shooter, there are games where he is the life of the party. We saw a little bit about that in that preseason game here against the Wizards, where he had a couple of massive dunks in that game. But there are other times where he just completely disappears. I would think, though, that playing with LeBron, or at least, you know, when he's given that opportunity, and plus, I mean, Cleveland has a bunch of other very good players, Kevin Love and so on, that the inconsistency should not be so severe, I wouldn't think, this time, for Green. Or maybe even more to the point, on those games where he is looking like he's just not helpful, Cleveland won't have to feel compelled to use him. You've got LeBron, you've got Jay Crowder, you've got Kevin Love, you got Tristan Thompson up front. You've got some options, and plus, it's not even counting, J.R. Smith, Dwayne Wade. If you want to go three guards, those guys could, play up a little bit. So they won't have to rely on Jeff Green a ton, but when he's on in that stage, he's going to be really interesting. But anyway, here is Jeff Green. Talk to him. He was carbo loading, sitting in front of his locker in the visitor's locker room before the game. Walked up, said, "Hey, you got a quick sec?" He did. Gracious with his time. Got into a lot of topics, his health, playing for a new team. Talked a little bit about Georgetown as well, the coaching change there, and so on. So here is Cleveland forward and former Georgetown star Jeff Green.
Well, I assume it's always a good time to come back home. This is your first time doing it with this team. It's certainly a unique circumstance to be on this team with all the hype, all the expectation. What's it been like so far? We haven't gotten started yet with the season, but what's it been like so far to be part of this team?
It's been great. Learning experience, trying to get on the championship mindset that they've been at for the last couple of years. But it's made me grow in my game, and I'm blessed and thankful to be in this position.
Talk about the championship mindset and growing. Obviously, last year with Orlando, the season didn't go as you guys wanted. Obviously, there's a different talent level, LeBron, whatever. What's the difference you see between a team like that that's trying to get going versus a team that's already here that's part of the championship picture in the league?
Well, I can't speak for what they have going on over there. I'm more worried about here. We have great veterans here, great leadership, obviously in LeBron. So, I'm more worried about what we're doing here. I haven't even thought about Orlando, in the last couple of months.
No, I guess I just mean in general, what separates a team? I guess there's obviously the obvious time, but what separates a
championship? Wins and losses.
Simple as that?
Yeah, simple as that, man.
Gotcha. For you, you've kind of been there, done that with this league at this point. You've been in a lot of you've been the star. You've been in different situations. What do you see kind of yourself at this point coming into this team? There's a lot of guys on this team. What do you kind of see as your kind of fit here this year?
Just being Jeff Green, being versatile, being able to go on multiple positions, being able to be a playmaker, create for others, using my abilities on both ends on the floor, and doing whatever it takes to help this team out.
Yeah. I think the last couple of times you've been here, I haven't really thought about it, but you obviously went through some serious health stuff a few years ago. How are you doing, just from that standpoint?
I'm sitting here today in front of you. That means I'm great. So, I can't complain at all. I'm truly blessed. I'm thankful, by the grace of God that I'm able to continue to play this game. So, I can't do nothing but be thankful and appreciate the opportunity I have and stay humble because, it was almost taken away from me. So at this point, you know, I'm just, you know, enjoying the game, smiling, and having fun. So I can't complain at all.
When a year or so ago, when KD was a free agent, there was a lot of talk in these parts about people wanting him to come back because the local kid coming home, like the way LeBron went back to Cleveland. He obviously didn't, and he kind of even said he didn't really want to play home. If it ever worked out that way, would you want to play home? If it worked out, were you? Were
they ever interested in that? Because I'm not in that position. I think it's all a timing issue. Some guys like it, some guys don't. As for me, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, and you know, that's it. I haven't even thought about it. You know, but. You know, they have a good situation here. John is a good friend of mine. Scotty Brooks, obviously, I've known him for years now, 10-plus years now, since my Seattle days. So, you know, they have a great thing here, but I haven't thought about it at all.
The fact that you haven't thought about it, is that sort of another example of how we all obsess about things like this way more than you guys do?
Way more than we do. Way more than we do. I mean, but
we all like to think that you and KD and Jared Jack, you guys all have secret meetings. Like, okay, we're all going to show up. We're all going to come back and play kind of thing.
Nah. I mean, we're all grown men. You know, you all choose to, you know, choose your path, your destiny, and your own career. You know, we're all great friends off the court. And, you know, we all support each other in whatever decision they make. You know, I supported KD when he went to go to state. But Jared Jack, you know, in New York right now, you know, I'm supporting him, and hopefully he stays healthy and he, you know, is on that team. So, you know, we support each other, and that's what it's all about.
Let me just ask you one last thing. Obviously, Georgetown, big changes there. I don't know if you've talked to Patrick Ewing much. I'm sure you've been over there this summer. What are your kind of thoughts with him coming in there, new era? What do you kind of think might happen this year? Going forward?
You know, the lineage, the history, it's only right that to see fit that he, you know, takes over, you know, after, you know, my coach, you know, was let go. You know, I hope they do well because I want to be able to brag. So, you know, I'm supportive, and I wish the best for him.
Mentioned your coach. How tough was that when they decided to make the news?
It was real tough. You know, that was my coach. That was, you know, he's like a father figure to me. You know, it was tough to see them do what they did, but you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and they had to make a decision. They made that decision, so you know, whatever you know, Coach JT3 does, I'm supporting him. Whether it's coaching again, whatever he does, TV, I don't know, but you know, whatever he does, I'm backing him 100%. But I'm also going to support Big Pat at Georgetown and you know, the university that helped me get to the position I'm at now.
Jeff, really appreciate it, man.
All right, there you have it. Cleveland forward and former Georgetown star Jeff Green. You know, a lot of guys, they'll say they're blessed to be in a certain situation that they're in or what have you. And I'm not saying that they're not sincere, but just the way they present it sometimes, I don't always believe it. They may believe it in their heart. I just don't necessarily know if they believe it the way they're presenting it, responding. I did with Jeff Green when he talked about that. I mean, he had... I don't know if I mentioned it, but he had heart surgery in 2011, I want to say, a few years ago. It took him out for an entire season to come back to that. You know, I guess I thought about it because a lot of times anybody who talks about Jeff Green, who's not a true Georgetown fan, will note that he's had a very up and down career. Sometimes it's game to game, half to half, where you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And it's totally a fair criticism from a basketball standpoint. But, you know, I reminded myself before talking to him that, hey, this guy, you know, had to have heart surgery and, you know, was able to come back and play. So we can say whatever we want about, hey, you got to be more consistent or, you know, he's frustrated. He's maybe the most frustrating player in the league. But, you know, there's not many guys in the league who had to deal with what he had to deal with. And he's still playing. And like I said, I think he's the kind of guy, especially when you get to the playoffs for Cleveland, he'll get hot in a couple games. There might be some games where you can't use him because he's off, but there'll be a couple games where you're like, oh snap, Jeff Green on the court with LeBron James and Jay Crowder, 3'6", 8'6", 9" guys. We'll give them shooting, give them some length, and he'll be interesting. I think he'll be a more interesting addition for Cleveland than he would have been for anybody else, and a little more interesting then we're letting on. I'm not going crazy. I'm not saying he should start. I'm not saying he's going to be tremendous. But I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do over the course of the year, rejuvenated with a winning team. All right, I'm going to try to get rejuvenated with some sleep. Hope you guys are good as well on that front. Important to get your sleep, kids. I promise you, the older I get, the more I realize that is the truth. Back at it tomorrow night ahead of the season opener. I'll be back at Wizards practice on Tuesday, so I'll let you know what is going on out there as well. And also, Tuesday night is our fantasy basketball draft. We've got all the spots filled up. Appreciate everybody who did join. Sorry to those who were left outside. Just ran out of room. But I definitely appreciate everybody wanting in. And, you know, like I said, I won't burn you guys with crazy updates. I'll mention it at times, especially if I have on some of the guests who are also in that league. But whatever. It'll be fun. I haven't played fantasy basketball in a couple years. Excited to get back to that. I'd say who the two or three players I want, but the guys who are going to be in the league, some of them are listening. So, ixnay on the info A. All right, that's it. Ben Standing signing off. Until next time, see ya.
Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Fry, Hawks, Bobby Fry, Hawks, Bobby Fry, Dagger!